Coming up in just seconds, a conversation with Mike Owen of the Iowa Policy Project. If you're a regular listener to the Business News Hour, you know we've had dozens of reports by various Iowa business groups who say the corporate tax rate in Iowa is so high that it scares businesses away from the Hawkeye State. Really? Stay with us. Some interesting numbers headed your way today with Mike Owen. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of AARP. Discover the real possibilities families across the nation have found with AARP. From work to advocacy, AARP works for everybody. For more, Google AARP Iowa.
Inside on Business, the News Hour is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have come by because we're going to spend some time in economics. And don't let your eyeballs cross. We're talking about economics in the state of Iowa and about your money. Your money. The money that you pay in taxes or you don't pay in taxes. And if you are a business person, we're going to talk about how wonderful it is that you get to keep more of your money and what all that means to services such as education, healthcare, mental health, et cetera, et cetera. With us is Mike Owen. Mike is with the Iowa Policy Project, and we're going to spend some time talking economics in Iowa. Mike, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. I don't even know where to start. Let me start with one of the things, and please understand, we talk about business on the Business News Hour. We don't spend a lot of time talking about politics, although politics and business intersect.
Now and then.
Yeah, every once in a while. But let me give you the scenario. Every business group that we have had on this broadcast over the past year has talked about the need to reduce corporate taxes in the state of Iowa. I will call them out by name. The Iowa Chamber Alliance, the Iowa Business Council, the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the Association of Business and Industry for Iowa. Those four groups alone make up the majority of businesses, large and some small, in the state of Iowa.
Okay.
And they are all clamoring for a reduction in the corporate tax rate for business in Iowa because, and I will tell you exactly what they tell me, the optics are bad that we are saying that we're collecting too much taxes on the one page that goes to business people. So I'm going to let you take it from there.
Well, they can say all they want about the optics. What I would say is if they had more faith in the people that they represent, they would know that those companies know fully well that Iowa is already a very competitive state for business, that studies by the Anderson Economic Group, by Ernst & Young, these big consulting operations for business have shown time and time again, that Iowa is in the lower part of a very large pack of states. There just isn't that much difference in state taxes, state and local taxes that are governed by state policy. There's just not that much difference that makes a difference to businesses on whether they're going to locate here or not.
I think you're being kind. You're being kind.
I would point out something that a friend of mine once told me, that businesses know that about the only costs they have that they can reduce by whining is taxes. So it's inevitable. But businesses also know that it is important to have a public infrastructure of services, of education, of transportation networks, and so forth, that only come about by investments in those same public institutions, and that comes with taxes. They know that they benefit when those services are funded properly. We are not doing that in Iowa. We are pulling back in every meaningful arena, beginning with, and probably most importantly from a state policy angle, beginning with education.
You know, I heard you tonight as you were talking about education funding formulas. And many people that you were speaking to, and we had a nice crowd, their eyes started to cross as you talk about this funding formula that is so convoluted. And I will admit to you that I'm suspecting that it is convoluted by design. You know, the governor of the state of Iowa, Kim Reynolds, has said that we are spending historic amounts of money on education in this legislative session. And yet, when you look at the historical relevance of where we are today versus where we have been over the past 10 or 20 years, it's not accurate. Give us the 37,000-foot look at educational funding in Iowa.
Well, the long and the short of it is all you have to have is a very small increase over the last year to have a supposedly historic amount of funding. When you look at it in context of what it costs to provide education, you can see that we actually, in recent years, are historically low. That over the last 10 years, we are averaging about 1.8% per pupil spending growth. So per pupil spending is what determines a school budget. And when your growth is below 2%, you're not meeting the costs of educating children in our state.
So let's put that into perspective. I happen to have an 11-year-old that goes to public school. And I know that in the days that she's been in public school, in West Des Moines, as a matter of fact, that every year we get a little piece of paper that says, please donate pens and pencils and paper and tape and paste and colors and crayons and all kinds of things that when you and I, Mike Owen, were going to school, we would just go and we would have them. So somebody's not paying for that stuff, and they're asking for citizenry to pay for that stuff.
Well, and teachers are paying for things out of their own pockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that those stories have been told many times, and they're true. I've seen it myself in my town. It's really time for the state of Iowa to step up again to what has been traditionally one of our greatest values.
What? All right, so why should business care? Why should business care if we have a good educational system in the state of Iowa? I mean, what the heck? I mean, if we can...
Business knows that we have to have an educated workforce for them to prosper. I mean, we hear all the time, accurately or not, we keep hearing that we need more skilled workers in the state.
Right. Yeah,
Tell me how we're going to get them without education.
Yeah.
It's essential to the success of businesses in Iowa to have an educated workforce. It was a few years ago. I'm saying a few years ago, so it probably was a decade now. There actually was some discussion at the state capitol about closing tax loopholes in the state. And this upset some very large multinational corporations, one of which sent one of their people to the capitol to testify at a committee hearing. And I remember reading in the Des Moines Register a story the next day that this fellow had come out of that committee hearing, restated his objections to closing these corporate tax loopholes, and then added to the reporters, but don't cut back on your education spending in this state. They know it's important. And the funding for it has to come from somewhere. And corporations are not doing their part.
You know, one of the things that is the big buzzword right now, Mike Owen, is Future Ready Iowa. Future Ready Iowa. Now, I would subscribe to you that we can't be future ready unless we fund what it is that future ready means. And if we peel back the onion a little bit, wouldn't that be education?
It's an essential part of it.
Yeah.
No question about it.
So this is this conundrum that we go through all the time is, I think, frightening to those of us who look to the future for a workforce that's going to be educated, going to be on time in the new technologies that are out there, and yet we continue to fund education at a pauper's rate.
We're shortchanging the K-12 schools, sending those students off to Regents universities, community colleges, private colleges, where they are piling up enormous debt, only to come out and find themselves in a very low-wage economy, where paying off that debt is going to be a problem unless they leave Iowa.
Yeah, you know, we just had a news story the other day talking about this very same thing. Housing, new housing starts are down. Housing is down across the nation. And when we start to look at the reasons why people are not buying homes, and they come to several things. Number one is, well, the interest rates went up in fall of 2018. They've come back down a little bit. But the other things that are stunning is that home prices have continued to escalate. People are saddled with all kinds of student debt. That income has not kept pace with inflation, no matter what people tell you. And so home ownership is like a distant dream to many people. And that is one of the areas that spurs economic activity anywhere, yeah?
I agree. And yeah. I think we want to make it more possible for families to prosper, and that's going to be one of the indicators as to whether they can buy homes in our community.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something about increasing costs at secondary schools, and people, I think Iowa's in the top 10 states where students graduate with a high degree of student loans. I want to go to something else that you talked about tonight that I have had these conversations with, again, every one of those pro-business organizations. And I'm not pro-business. I'm not anti-business. I am pro-business. I believe that when people do well, we all do well. But I want to talk about this R&D tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
Spell that out for us. This is a thing that has been in Iowa for a long time, where people, large corporations, are actually getting, if I'm correct, not paying any taxes to the state of Iowa, but getting checks.
Well, there are some. We have a research activities credit,
right,
that was started to help small entrepreneurial operations get going. As part of the idea, they made it a refundable credit, which meant that if they had more credits available than they had taxes owed, they got a check for the difference, which
sure
made some sense. When you're trying to help a small startup operation, which isn't going to have a lot of profits to tax, but you want them to have the benefit of that subsidy to get going.
Totally agree.
It makes sense. What's happened is that program is dominated by very large corporations who've taken advantage of what has become the largest tax credit program in the state. When we have five companies, including Rockwell Collins, Deering Company, DuPont, Monsanto, John Deere Construction, in 9 years have benefited from $300 million for that program. They're not doing anything wrong. They're using a program that was put in place, but we have to ask the question as to whether that's a good use of taxpayers' money. When we're told, for example, that we don't have enough to help schools more, to do more with our universities and community colleges, to better fund child care assistance and help struggling working families make ends meet. These people are all told we don't have the money to do it. We're spending a lot of money before the budget process even starts by giving it away in tax credits, by not plugging tax loopholes, and many of the groups that you just talked about are defending those credits and tax loopholes. They're saying, don't touch that stuff. Well, you can't have it both ways. If you want a prosperous citizenry, if you want to encourage opportunity and good education in our state, you have to pay for it. And it's time for those businesses to start contributing more appropriately. And for politicians to stop pandering to this idea that the solution to every problem is a tax cut. It's absolute nonsense.
Mike Owen, ladies and gentlemen. Mike is the executive director of something called the Iowa Policy Project, a nonpartisan group, by the way, based out of Iowa City. You know, I look back. I'm an old guy, okay? I happen to remember when General Dwight D. Eisenhower was president, okay? And when President Eisenhower was president, he got the knack for going to Pennsylvania on a regular basis to play golf. Okay? I mean, but that was at a time when the United States was full of red fear, that the communists were on every doorstep. All of these things were scary times. I mean, I remember, you know, Duck Cover Run or something like that, when the atomic bomb would land in our elementary school system and we were all supposed to climb under our desks. All right. So that gives you a little historical relevance to this. I want to give you another historical relevance to this. During the Eisenhower administration, and Dwight D. Eisenhower was not a full-blown radical liberal.
No.
The tax rate in the United States was higher than it was ever in this country. And what was the result of that? The result of that was interstate highway systems, new programs for schools and education. There was a test about that time that was called the Iowa Test of Basic Skills that was the epitome. Because why? Iowa led the nation in education. Things have changed.
Well, and there also was a prosperous middle class in those days.
Well, yeah, 34% of individuals belong to a union.
Well, that says a lot right there. Because there aren't enough people fighting for those working families now. And we see that play out in the legislature constantly, especially with a lot of the things that have been going on. It's more than taking away collective bargaining rights for public employees, which was a disastrous move. But it's new assaults on workers' compensation, unemployment compensation, you know, hitting people when they're down, when they could be not only helping themselves, but helping the economy.
So we've been kvetching about this for the last, about 15 minutes.
Yes.
What are the answers?
Well, the answers are starting to look at what is an agenda for opportunity in our state. And at the Iowa Policy Project, we have several resources on there where we hope people will go to turn for some of those answers on how to raise wages, how to make for a more fair, accountable, and revenue-producing tax policy that supports public services, that supports struggling families, that supports education and reinstills an idea of what we can do together as a state, as community, as neighbors to improve our state and set the table for the kind of opportunity that we all want for our children and grandchildren.
And this should not be a partisan issue, should it?
Well, I think as you suggested, it hasn't been in the past.
Right.
I think when you go back to the 50s, and goodness knows I'm not calling for us to go back to the 50s. There were a lot of bad things that happened in the 50s. But
there's a sense of economic fairness.
There was a sense that came through in the policies that resulted in the 50s and 60s and even into the 70s. And
you know, I'm a kid.
We have to get that back.
Yeah, I'm a kid from Detroit. Okay? So my father, may he rest in peace, worked in the factories. I mean, he was a white-collar guy. All right? But at the same time, he would come home kvetching about the fact that people who were working hourly were making more than he was because they belonged to a union. They might have been pushing a broom, but they had health care and they had a livable wage. They had a house. They had one or two cars. And, you know, that was the reality in the 50s and 60s. We're so far gone from that. And it's sad. Mike Owen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to get on my soapbox, man. But, you know, this is just I deal with economics and business every single day. And when I see these real clear pieces of information that come from the Iowa Policy Project about the reality of where we are, I think it's so important for people to take a moment, become nonpartisan in this issue and say, okay, what's best for Iowa and our people. So thanks for doing this, man.
Thank you, Michael.
Once again, that was Mike Owen from the Iowa Policy Project. We will have links up on our radio blog so you can find out more information about Mike and the organization. Stunning stuff, right? Don't go anywhere. More to come on this edition of the Business News Hour.